Oh my God. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 73 of All In With Kevin. I am your host, Kevin Lewis. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the wild Raiders and Chargers Week 18 game. I guess the events that led up to it. A lot of these games stunk, so it's not really going to spend a whole lot of time on the other Week 18 games, but I guess I'll speak on them a little bit and, you know, a playoff preview. But, About the scenario that we had unfold Sunday night. So, the Jaguars beating the Colts and the Steelers beating the Ravens set up a situation in which the Raiders and Las Vegas would both get into the playoffs with a tie and send the Steelers home. So, you know, and I saw that circulate earlier this week, earlier on Sunday, where a tweet from some writer, I think, about that scenario unfolding, and it was just, you know, I saw it, I was like, they're gonna play to win the game, da 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 da. All right. So lo and behold, you start watching the game, like you see it unfold, like the Chargers are down 29-15 in the fourth quarter, they come back, they tie the game. They get to overtime, and like the Raiders scored a field goal on their first drive. The Chargers didn't answer with a field goal. And you're just like, okay, this might happen. Like, it gets to about a minute left, and the Raiders look like they're content running clock. Now, I don't know if they were content running clock in the way that people are assuming that they were content running the clock. Like, I don't know if they were just going to say, all right, fuck it, we'll sit on the ball and kneel. Now, personally, I think that should have been the play for the Raiders, because it is quite literally a no-lose proposition. Now, unless you're saying that you would just rather play the Chiefs, you would rather play the Bengals than the Chiefs, then okay, then that makes sense. Then go for the win. Ultimately, I just don't think seeding's going to matter that much. If you have any hopes and dreams of making it to where you think you can make it or where you want to make it, you're going to have to beat the fucking Chiefs anyway. So ultimately, I don't think that's a big deal here, but I can understand if you chose to win or try to win because you didn't want to see them immediately. Understood. But we do not know what their intent was when they were running that clock down to 40 seconds, and then the Chargers used a timeout at 36 seconds left. Now, we've heard from players saying that they were just going to kneel the ball out, and then the Chargers called a timeout. I don't know if they just thought, okay, the Chargers are going to win the game. They're trying to win the game, so fuck them. Or they were just like, all right, we're going to try and win the game, so the Chargers, we're going to leave them nothing on the clock, and we're going to go try and win the game because fuck them. So I'm not exactly sure what happened there. Now, I will say at first I thought the timeout was kind of wild, right? I still in that situation wouldn't have wanted my favorite team's coach to call a timeout, because there are three different results here: a loss, a tie, a win. Only one of those results isn't beneficial to you. And shit, the result that you were closest to could benefit both parties, would benefit both parties. Like, a tie would benefit everybody. It's risk-averse, which the NFL teams love. They love risk-averse shit. It's risk-averse. They sit on the ball. Everybody gets their playoff spot. All the players get their playoff bonuses as we go home. But we don't know if the Raiders were sitting there playing for a tie. Now, we've heard from people, people in the post game who said they were going to play for the tie. I guess people said it on the field or whatever. Like, I'm seeing a whole lot of things floating on Twitter right now. Who the fuck knows what's true and what's not? But in a real football game, this was a fake football game. Like, as somebody in one of my group chats, but this was a fake football. Shout out to my boy Jonah. But this is a fake football game, dog. There's never been a situation where I could ever remember in history where a tie benefits everybody, unequivocally benefits everybody, and is the best result for everybody involved. Like, everybody wins if you tie. Never, ever have I heard of a situation like so. So, because in a normal situation, nobody is questioning this. Obviously, in a normal football game, nobody is questioning this. Clearly. But in a game where he doesn't know, like, I felt that the Raiders were moving at a pace where it was like, I don't think they really cared that much if they did win the game. Now, it's easy for me to sit here and say that shit. I'm not the one coaching. I'm not the one on the sideline. I'm not the one playing. It's easy for me to say that shit. I don't know if Brandon Staley is probably not sitting there thinking like, oh yeah, the Raiders are content with sitting on the ball and going to the playoffs. Maybe he should have been. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't have wanted my coach to call that timeout. Also, when you consider it, like, and this has nothing to do with the reasoning, but it's funny to me. The Chargers run defense. Brandon Staley, first of all, he claimed that he called that timeout so he could get his proper run personnel grouping on the field, so he could potentially make that field goal as long as possible. And that part of it is funny to me because the Chargers run defense hasn't stopped nobody all year, no matter who the fuck was on the field. It does not matter who was on the field. First down, second down, third. They've been getting worked on the ground all year. Rex Burkhead ran for 150 yards on these dudes. Rex Burkhead ran for 150 yards on these dudes. That part of it was very, very funny to me, even though it really has nothing to do with anything. And his reasoning, I understood it. Because again, if it was a real football game where we didn't have these spectacular once-in-a-lifetime kind of circumstances, nobody would be saying anything. So I understand why he did it. Like, I think with Brandon Staley, we've gotten to a point where he's the new wonder boy on the block. He's the new flashy coach. Like, he's aggressive. He's pro-analytics. And that causes a divide as far as the conversation. Like, you have people like me who I wouldn't say I'm a full-on nerd. Like, I'm a nerd when it comes to a lot of stuff in football, but I'm not full-on in that direction. And I'm not full-on in the anti-math portion of the program. Like, I test, like, I'm somewhere in between. Like, I lean more towards the analytics people. I feel like they have factual-based stuff to back what they say more than the other side. But I'm not full-on in either direction. But he causes conversation among everybody. I think he's good for the game. But he causes conversation because you have people like me who will defend a lot of the stuff that he does. There's one play that happened in that football game that I won't defend. I'll get into that in a bit. But you have people like me who will defend what he does, and then you have the people who are anti-analytics, anti-math, anti-anything progressive, basically, who take the things like this as some kind of opportunity to dunk on Brandon Staley. Like, we had a similar conversation when he went for the whole bunch of fourth downs against the Chiefs and converted, I think, 2 out of 5, or whatever it was, and people were like, oh, he's too aggressive, he's this and that and the third. So, I think a lot of the conversation, given the context and given the fact that Brandon Staley explained himself, and given the fact that if it was a normal football game, nobody would complain about it, I think a lot of the conversation that, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't question him, because again, I said I disagree with it too, but I think a lot of the conversation is kind of pent up aggression towards Brandon Staley that now is manifesting itself towards overly criticizing him on this particular occasion. And this is not to say he's above reproach. I didn't say that. This is not to say he shouldn't be criticized. I didn't say that. This is not to say everything he does is right. I didn't say that either. He went for 4 from and basically 1.5 yards from his own 18-yard line. I think that's wild. And on top of that, it was a run to Austin Eckler. Look, I think in the Chargers case in specific, unless it's legitimately like 4th and 3 inches, Justin Herbert should be throwing the ball. And he's big as hell. If you need a yard and a half, you need to run the ball, Justin Herbert should be able to get you that. And if he doesn't, fine. I want the ball in Justin Herbert's hands. And that's no offense to Austin Eckler. I love Austin Eckler. He's arguably my favorite running back in the sport. I love him. But I don't want the ball in his hands on a straight handoff on 4th and 1.5. I just don't. I want the ball in 10's hands. If at the very bare minimum, if I'm going to go for it on 4th and 1 from my fucking 18, the ball should be in my best player's hands. Your best player is Justin Herbert. Period. So that was my issue more than actual going for it, even though I would have punted the ball. I would have preferred... If my favorite team's coach was in that situation, that you pump the ball. Like, I'm very anti conventional wisdom in a lot of cases, especially when it comes to football, because I feel like a lot of it is coded in conservatism and playing close to the vest and risk averse football, and I can't stand risk averse football. I'm not saying it's always wrong, but for the most part, it's whack. Like, we can say whatever you want about fourth downs and people going for fourth downs and not going for fourth downs, or whether you agree with them or not. But fourth downs are fun. I think we can all agree on that. Fourth downs are fun. Maybe not when your favorite team is involved, but as a neutral observer, you want people to go for it on fourth down. That shit is fun. It's fun. It's indisputably more fun than kicking the ball in 4th and inches from the 38, or as I call it, a Joe Judge special. It's way more fun if you just go out there and you go for it. But ultimately, like, I think a lot of the conversation that you're going to hear over the next 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, however long this conversation lasts, is kind of going to be just like a lot of things with the Chargers. It's going to be the people who are pro-math versus the people who are anti-math. Like, I'm not getting wrapped up in it because, quite frankly, I see both sides and I don't think this is a math argument. I don't think analytics was the one who called the timeout. Like, he called a timeout because he thought the Raiders were going to run the football, and he wanted to get his best personnel grouping on the field. That makes sense. And quite frankly, I think if they had stopped the Raiders, let's say they held them to a no gain, and then now you got to kick a 54-yard field goal. I think the Raiders in that particular situation might have just said, okay, fuck it, let's go home. You know what I mean? But a lot of the conversation is just a lot of people who just don't like him, Staley, don't like what he stands for, don't like the fact that people like him and what he stands for. Because a lot of the media just likes, they like new blood, they like a new fresh face, they like a new fresh face who offers a different perspective. Like, he's a good quote, he's a really good interview, and he doesn't do things like coaches used to do in 1999. I'm not saying he's going to be no all-time great coach. I don't know what the fuck is in store for his career. I don't know that. But he is different, and a lot of time when you see these football conversations, people just don't like different. They don't like people who embrace math. They don't like people who embrace odds. They don't like people who embrace analytics. They don't like people who embrace information, quite frankly, new information. They like their conventional wisdom, and they like going by, well, you know, back in my day in 2005, this used to, like, they love that shit. So a lot of that is just directed now towards Brandon Staley because they feel like a very, arguably the most pro-analytics coach in the league failed, and they're taking pride in that, which a weird thing to take pride in, if you ask me, but go for it, I guess. Ultimately, I was rooting for the tie because Ben Roethlisberger's career going up, I'm not a big Ben Roethlisberger fan, if you couldn't tell by this podcast and those of you who listen, those of you who look at my tweets, not a big Ben Roethlisberger fan. Ben Roethlisberger's career going up in flames like that would have been amazing. Now, on the flip side, his career going up in flames, getting sacked 12 times next week and losing 36-3 might be a little bit better. Might be. But at least he has some control over his own destiny. Some. So that's kind of whack. Him staying at home and watching the most improbable way to get booted out of the playoffs would have been tremendous content. Tremendous. That is the unfortunate part. I mean, one of the unfortunate parts. Really, if you look at the... mind you, that was a classic game. Like, Raiders-Chargers was a classic football game. Like, it came down to the wire. Like, the NFL season quite literally came down to the last second to determine the last playoff spot. the last two playoff spots. It had everything, man. Justin Herbert's a baller. He converted like what, 6 fourth downs or whatever it was. They had back and forth. Like Derek Carr made a monster throw in overtime. It was a classic game, right? You see those two teams play, and I've come around on Derek Carr. Like, I'm not as high on him as some other people are, but I think he's a good quarterback. And more importantly, like, he stopped doing the Alex Smith impersonation where he was just taking everything underneath and never taking any chances. He stopped doing that. Like, he actually pushes the ball down the field now. So, like, Derek Carr is a good watch. The Raiders are a good watch. They might not be a particularly good team, but they're a good watch. The Chargers are a good watch. Both of them could have been in the playoffs if the Raiders just knelt on the ball. But no. Instead, we get the Raiders in the... Ben Roethlisberger putting all his might into 8-yard overthrows and underthrows all week next week as the Chiefs beat them by 5 scores. That's what we get instead. And also, if you're the Raiders, again, let's pretend, for argument's sake, that they just don't give a fuck who they played in the first round. Let's pretend. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know if anybody will ever actually ask. So I don't know. I mean, you're probably not going to ask that question. And they're probably not going to sit there. But we were trying to avoid Kansas City. We definitely want to see Joe Burrow in them. So I doubt that you're ever going to get that kind of admission. But let's just pretend that they weren't. Right? And an opponent didn't matter to them. Besides giving a middle finger to the Chargers, which I understand that might be it here, right? But besides giving the middle finger to the Chargers, why not just kneel the fucking ball? Now, the chances of the Chargers blocking the kick and returning it for a touchdown are so fucking low, I understand that. But it's greater than zero. And there's one thing that's for certain going to get me to next week, a kneel. And this is after they got the first down, after Staley called a timeout, mind you. There's one thing that is for sure going to get me to the postseason, a kneel. And the whole point is to get to the playoffs. Nobody gives a fuck how you get there, get to the playoffs. That's the whole point, right? Win and you're in, or tie and you're in. The cleanest way to get there was to fucking kneel on the ball. Why didn't you do it? Genuinely asking. Like, if it's just to fuck you to the charge, I respect that level of petty, and that's probably it. I'm probably answering my own question, but like, if I was in those shoes, motherfucker, kneel. The last thing you need is a botched snap, a block kick. Like, again, non-zero chance these things happen. Like, very low, but non-zero chance these things happen. Just kneel the fucking ball, like, because that in and of itself is a win. A tie is a win too, and you get to the playoffs. But again, if you want to keep the Chargers out, I get it. Either way, I thought the timeout was very egregious at first. I'm not going to lie. I still don't necessarily agree with it. But Brandon Staley has paid a lot of money to make decisions for his football team in the best interest of winning. He thought the other team was also trying to win, which I can't blame him for that. Because you don't know. There's no way of him knowing. Like, again, the way the Raiders were moving, they looked like they were content with just tying the game and going home. That's how it looked to me. Just on TV. But again, I'm just a dude sitting on my couch with some popcorn watching the game. So he made that decision. He's just going to have to sleep with it. He's going to have to live with it. And you know, the players are going to have to understand why he made that decision. He's going to have to explain that to them. I don't think he's going to have much to explain because he said it in the post game anyway. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be conversation about it. Especially if it's true that Raiders players were telling Chargers players after the fact that they were going to kneel. And then the Chargers called the timeout. Either way, I just don't think it's as egregious as I initially thought it was. I've walked back that opinion. And while I still disagree with it, I understand it. And I think Brandon Staley is good for the game because we have conversations like this. And he ain't boring, and he ain't play close to the vest and play conservative no matter what. He's going out there all guns ablaze. Is it always the right thing to do? No. Is it more fun? Hell fucking yes. And he don't coach my favorite team, even though I wish he did, quite frankly. No offense to Robert Saleh, but like, I'm assuming, you know, you get a quarterback in place, you get Staley in place, it'll be a lot of fun. You know what I mean? But he's good for the game. He ain't no bitch. He ain't gonna coach like no bitch. He's good for the game. Whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, we're having conversations about it. And conversations about the nuts and bolts game management type of things as far as football goes are more fun to me than the other kind of conversation at this point. So I feel like the other type of conversations are just conversations we've had over and over. But like game management conversation, they could be a little fresh. They could be somewhat new, like new wrinkles. Like we've never had this before, for example. The Chiefs game, like we've never really seen somebody go for 5 different fourth downs and miss 3 of them, and you could actually debate the merits of them going for them. You know what I mean? Like it's fresh. It's relatively quote unquote new. Like not that new, but to this extreme, it's probably new. And I respect it. Unfortunately for the Chargers, they got to go home. And unfortunately for us and the rest of the viewers, for me and the rest of the viewers, we got to watch Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs next week. And by we, I mean y'all. I say y'all as if I'm not going to watch Ben Roethlisberger get his fucking head beat in for 60 minutes next week. And I'm lying. So there you go. Moving on. So the playoffs. All right. So we have in the NFC, we have the 2-seed Buccaneers versus the 7-seed Eagles. The four seed Rams and the 5-seed Cardinals, and the 3-seed Cowboys and the 6-seed 49ers. So, the Bucks and the Eagles, I feel like that's kind of the lock of the weekend. Like the Buccaneers are gonna win the football game. Do I need to really go into why? Like they're better. The Buccaneers are a little bit banged up on the defense and on the offense. A little bit banged up. Like Brady has had a hell of a year. Hate to admit it. He's had a hell of a year, and he has a strong, strong argument for MVP. But, the Bucks are just a lot better than the Eagles. How do you really want me to go into this? The Bucks are better than the Eagles. They're going to beat them. If they don't, I would be very, very happy. But they're going to beat them. Rams-Cardinals is interesting for a lot of reasons. These teams played twice in the regular season. The Cardinals washed them the first time, and the Rams beat them the second time. You have the Matthew Stafford conundrum, which I've spelled out how I feel about that on this podcast. Like, Stafford does a lot of the same shit that Kirk Cousins gets grief for from sea to shining sea. But because he throws the ball well, he gets away with a lot of it as far in the court of public opinion. He makes the same kind of crippling mistakes. Like, he has the same kind of brain neutral plays. He has the same kind of, you know, same stats. You know, like, same lack of success as far as playoff success and success versus winning teams. Like, they're very similar. But Kirk catches a whole lot more grief. And for the record, I'm not calling either one of them bad quarterbacks. Like, I think they're both solid quarterbacks in different ways. Kirk is more or less limited. And then Stafford is just, like, he can look like the best quarterback in the league and the same quarterback and the worst quarterback in the league within a 5-minute stretch. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, we've seen it happen. But the main thing with Stafford has just always been, for me, like, for he gets no scrutiny for a guy who's picked number one overall. Like, I've never seen a number one quarterback get less scrutiny than Matthew Stafford until Trevor Lawrence, and that's only a year sample. I've never seen a number one quarterback get less scrutiny because apparently it's everybody else's fault but his. But then also, you're telling me he's elite despite the fact that elite quarterbacks are supposed to uplift teams in bad situations or mediocre situations. And he's never really done that. So, I which is it? Either way, I've spent way too much time talking about Matthew Stafford. Look, Matthew Stafford is a Jekyll and Hyde kind of quarterback. He also has more arm talent than damn near everybody in the league. We know this. And we know, like, what a hot Matthew Stafford looks like, and he can get you places. Do I believe in him? No. Would it be the most shocking thing in the world if he puts together 4 good games and the Rams win a Super Bowl? No, because they are wildly talented all over the place. Right? If he could just not vomit on himself, the Rams are going to be a tough out. Now, do you want to trust Matthew Stafford in January in Lambeau Field? I sure as fuck do not. That's just my one man's opinion. I sure as fuck do not. But, again, if he just doesn't vomit on himself, the Rams are going to be a very tough out. As far as the Cardinals have been reeling, it feels like, for a long time now. like their 8-0 start or whatever it was feels like a decade ago. Like they've been reeling for a minute now. They had a chance to win a division outright on Sunday and didn't. They lost to the Seahawks. Now, given how home field advantage works in LA, it might not even fucking matter. Because, I mean, Matthew Stafford was talking about how they were having trouble communicating during the Rams 49ers game. And that game was in LA. So it might not even matter, depending on how well the Cardinals fans travel. But the fact of the matter, the Cardinals just have not been that good for a while. Can they turn it around? Sure. Kyler Murray is a great talent. They have good talent all over the place. They have a good defense. You know, I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins is going to be back for the game. I'm not sure if he's done. I think he's going to be back. At least that's so I read like a few weeks ago. But I think the Rams are just better. And I think the Rams are going to win the game. Cowboys, 49ers. The Cowboys have looked kind of they've been kind of middling against the better teams in the league for a while. The offense, anyway. The offense has kind of been middling for a while. Like, they had their little breakout against Washington, and then they had another breakout against the Eagles. Washington stinks, and the Eagles are playing their backups. So how much am I really supposed to take from that? I don't know. If the Cowboys come out and scored 30 this week, would I be surprised? No. If they came out and they scored 10, would I be surprised? No. Do I think the Cowboys are better than the 49ers? Yes. Do I think that the 49ers defense is going to give them some trouble based on what they can do pass rush wise? Absolutely. I think this is a toss up game. I'm going to pick the Cowboys because I think they're better. They're at home, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little ref shenanigans in that game in favor of Dallas. Because if Dallas wins, they get the Buccaneers, and you have America's team versus the alleged GOAT. So I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. All right, AFC side, we got the Chiefs and the Steelers. I said what I needed to say about this game earlier, but I'll say it again. The Chiefs are going to wax that ass. The Chiefs are going to get the Steelers up out of the paint. Like the Steelers extended their season by 1 week, and good for Mike Tomlin. He deserves it. He's now gone 2 straight years in the playoff, getting into the playoffs with no fucking quarterback in sight. Well, excuse me, no respectable, competent quarterback in sight, because Ben is awful. Good for him. But they're going to get waxed. They're going to get waxed next week. Oh, they're going to get waxed. So that offense is terrible. And led by Ben Roethlisberger, who's going to be throwing 6 to 8 yard passes left, too far to the left, too far to the right, too far up, too far down. It's going to be a bloodbath. Raiders-Bengals. I feel like this has best game of the weekend kind of potential. As I mentioned before, the Raiders are a pretty fun watch. The Bengals have Joe Burrow in them, and Ja'Marr Chase is an excellent young player. T. Higgins is an excellent young player. Like Tyler Boyd's a nice complimentary piece. Like Joe Mixon's really good. They have a lot going on in Cincinnati. They score a bunch of points. They throw the ball all over the place. It's a good time. It's fun. They do what they do, and the Raiders do what they do. Like, I think I think that's going to be a down to the wire kind of game. I think we're going to get another really good game from the Raiders, and the Bengals win like 30-27 or something along those lines. Patriots Bills. It should be interesting to see what the weather is in Buffalo, because we might get a repeat of the Monday Night Football game where the Patriots threw the ball 3 times. We might get a repeat. But Bill Belichick versus Josh Allen in the playoffs sounds like a good matchup, right? Mac Jones, I guess he just got to go out there and not lose it. I don't think he's good enough yet to win them a playoff game, especially against one of the better defenses in the sport. And barring another game exactly like the one on Monday Night Football, where they just run the ball a million times, break a big one, and win something like 17-14, I can't really see the Patriots winning this football game, dog. I can't. They're simply just not as good. And Mac Jones is not ready for that yet, as far as having to actually put the team on his shoulders and take ownership of a game. Like, he's not built for that yet. Like, the Patriots have been the kings of getting ahead and staying there. And I'm not knocking the quarterback, mind you. He had a very, very good rookie season. And if Ja'Marr Chase didn't exist, you have a good argument for him as a rookie of the year. I'm not knocking him at all, but he's not built like that yet. He might get there. Good chance he gets there. Because that'd make my life hell for another 20 years as far as football, as far as the football portion goes. So there's a good chance that Mac Jones turns into that guy. And then I'll have experienced 20 years of Brady and 20 years of Mac Jones. That seems like the natural ending here. But I can't see the Bills losing the game. So I'm going to pick them. So my picks this week, the Buccaneers, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Bills. So apparently I think every single home team is winning. That is probably not going to happen. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened. I guess I will just preview this, the second round games and so on the next time I do this. So I won't go too far as what I'm going to pick as far as the Super Bowl and so on. But we'll see. I hope that the Raiders-Charger game was a sign of things to come. I doubt it. I think that was an outlier because the NFL product has been so bad the last like 2-3 years. I think that was an outlier, but hopefully I'm wrong. Either way, that is all for me. Go ahead and listen to the Middle Initial podcast with myself, Andrew O'Case, and Drew Jackson. We discuss current sports topics. We had Quincy Enunwa on last week's episode. I would suggest you go listen. I think it's a great episode. I'm not just saying that because we were on it. Because I am on it. But I think we did a great job. I think you'd enjoy it. Go ahead and listen to Fly Fantasy. Myself, Dre Cam. We are not recording at the moment. But we are going to kickstart some stuff. You know, coming in when the draft starts. You know, when the NFL draft prep starts and after the draft. So tune in then. You can listen to the episodes we already recorded for like redraft advice, general redraft advice, or just a look back at last year, what went right and what went wrong. So go ahead and listen to that. Rate, review, and subscribe for both of those podcasts and this one. And I will see you when I see you. La, la, la.